Well, the Warriors are re-airing classic games, showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Now through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion. It's presented by HPE, it's live on Facebook, and you can go to warriors.com for full details. I'm Tim Roy for Warriors Sound, and we're going to go back to December 12, 2012. The Warriors are on a road trip, and they're in Miami. And to help us break it down, Ira Winderman, the beat writer for the Miami Heat for the Sun Sentinel, joins us. He's a friend of Warriors Radio. Ira, how are you? How's everybody on your home front? We hope that you're surviving this in good spirits.
Family is all safe. Everyone is good. And it's kind of interesting because at least you brought me back to that era. Basically here, all we've been doing is been reliving the Heat Big Three era. You turn on the Heat's local TV station, it's something from their 2011-12 championship season, something for something like this, their 2012-13 championship season. So I think the only good thing about all of this is there's a silver lining is these days, whether it's a radio replay or a TV replay, it's almost like guaranteed victory night. So at least you have that in your favor.
Absolutely, absolutely. On this particular game, this is one I really wanted to get back to because I think this game against Miami, was the first indication that the Warriors were onto something, that they were really, you know, trending in the right direction and finally going to have a really good team for their fan base. They had been in the playoffs once in almost the last two decades. Mark Jackson's the head coach. They have Curry and Thompson, young talents. Draymond Green's a rookie. And they get on this road trip, and they win the first four games of the road trip. They win in Detroit, Brooklyn, Washington, and Charlotte. This is unheard of for the Warriors, as you know, Ira. So now they come in against the defending champions, and this was a big game for the Warriors. This was a game that they said, okay, this is a great game for us. What were your thoughts coming into that season, coming into that situation on Golden State, and what did you see there?
Well, you know what? It was the start of something different. That sort of was when the league was turning to the three ball meant everything. And the Heat knew that, and that's why they would make their play for Ray Allen, and they saw it going in that direction. And that still was at a time when LeBron would do anything but shoot three-pointers. Dwayne Wade was never a great three-point shooter, but the Heat sort of saw it going in that direction. There was a reason after they failed to win that title in 2011, the first Big Three year, that they went out and they got Shane Battier, that they realized they had to take their game beyond the three-point arc. We all know how it's gone since. That almost a two-point jumper is a bad shot. But the Heat moved in that direction, and that was something subtle. And another part of that, if you remember, was Chris Bosh began to take his game outside of the three-point line also. So the Heat knew what was coming, and the Warriors sent that clear signal. And another really interesting part of that night, and even though it's not a rivalry, I wouldn't say, between the teams, but their games, the Heat knew what Draymond Green was. And the Heat on draft night were very interested and considered making a move in the draft to get Draymond. So they sort of saw the same five-tool player that you've seen ever since. So this was not a case of the Heat being surprised by a team sort of on the uptick and sort of making their move. They saw this whole thing and how it was coming together. And I think one of the real shames of the Heat sort of victory run is they never got to that Warrior stage. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you here. The Heat went to four NBA finals, so I got to visit Dallas and Oklahoma City and San Antonio twice. And then finally with the Warriors, if you get a good place to go to the finals, the Heat aren't there anymore because LeBron lives. So for me, there'll sort of be a bitterness toward the Warriors, but back then in that game, you could see where it was trending.
Well, the bad thing for me, Ira, was that the bartender at Morton's in Cleveland knew me by my first name by the time to the end of the finals.
I was going to say, as rough as I might have had it in Dallas, Oklahoma City, and San Antonio, at least I didn't have to check in permanently for 4 years in Cleveland. So I will defer to you on that.
You know, you mentioned Draymond, and he scores the winning bucket in this game. Warriors win by two, and I'm going to get more into that in a little bit. But there was a moment in this game that I think set the tone for the Warriors. LeBron James scored on Draymond and started talking a little trash, and Draymond just stood up and went right back at him. And, you know, for the Warriors, we had never had a player like that. We'd never had a player who stood up to the best player in the game and talked right back to him, never mind a guy that was drafted in the second round.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, though, how ironic is it that Draymond developed that bravado very young, at a very early age in the NBA, and he spoke up to LeBron, and it paid dividends, and you almost wonder, and you know where I'm going with this, if maybe it didn't make him too emboldened. And if he wasn't too emboldened in that one playoff series and didn't have the suspension, maybe the world's a little bit different. So it's really interesting when you look back at this matchup and you see that Draymond backs down from no man. You almost wonder if the Warriors coaching staff, which obviously was in transition as the front office was, I think it's great when a young player sort of stands up there in the moment and says, I'm not scared by the old guard. I'm willing to go toe by toe. But it really is fascinating, as you mentioned, the emboldenment of Draymond Green began at an early age, and maybe that sort of fermented a little bit too much to where down the line it sort of paid an opposite dividend. But yeah, on that night, there was no backing down from anyone on the Warriors.
Yeah, it's funny because if the Warriors win in 2016, I don't think Kevin Durant comes to Golden State. And so it would have been totally...
That one moment in time, you know, every team has those sort of moments. And obviously now maybe you're lamenting whether it's Draymond leaving or the way things changed or the injuries and all that. Obviously for the Heat, it's when LeBron left in the 2014 offseason. But, yeah, that's still that moment in time that when we're talking dynasties, you know, you add that one back into the mix. And I've spoken to Andre Iguodala since he's been here also, you know, everything changes. I mean, even when I spoke to Andre, you win a championship that year, there's a chance nothing changes and everyone is there. So on one hand, what Draymond Green has shown to be in the NBA is nothing short of revelation from where he was drafted. On the other hand, he certainly has his moments in time because that's his personality, and you have to take the whole package with these players where you realize it is great that you have this sort of pride in yourself and belief in yourself, but there's almost always a flip side also.
You know, also in this game too, Ira, the Warriors showed a little bit of what they were going to become. The Heat were double teaming Steph Curry, making him give up the ball early, and so what happened was Klay got going. He had 21 in the first half, and in a game that did not have a double digit lead, he kind of helped the Warriors because without that scoring in the first half, I think Miami might have taken control of that game.
Yeah, and Klay really grew, obviously, from there. It had been growing already. And then he also started to see the defensive side of his game also. And I remember Klay stepping up defensively against the Heat in some of those matchups also, where this wasn't a case of saying this is a one-way player, this is just a pure shooter. He showed so much more in his game also. But that's what I do remember, that little bit of extra size that Klay carries with his shot and being able to shoot over other players, as well, of course, that Curry-like quick release he has also, how he made himself a factor. He was almost always a factor in these games, even when the Heat had their Dwayne Wade miracle shot. And I know Dion Waiters will tell you about his miracle shot also.
Absolutely.
Klay was always a guy that impacted every backcourt matchup, including on the defensive end.
Yeah, you mentioned those two game winners for Miami. As a broadcaster, you can't ask for better games than the Warriors have had in Miami. They've had some fabulous games coming right down to the wire. The other point, and I remember, because I put this in my notes on this game at the time, my statistician handed me after the final buzzer and Draymond scores, the Warriors win. It's a huge win for them. They're still undefeated on this road trip. I think they would go 6-1, which that never happened for Golden State. And he said that the Warriors held the Heat without a point in the last, like, 3 minutes and 18 seconds. And I said, wow, they just held the defending champions scoreless, you know, to win the game. And again, coming out of that game, there was some confidence there for Golden State that they kind of had this feeling that they were on their way and they were, you know, onto something. And you know, with somebody like Mark Jackson booing them up all the time, it got even more and more as the year went on. You know, do you have any thoughts on after that game, what you were thinking about the Warriors?
I'm probably going to not give you the answer you want here because I saw what was growing. We all saw what was growing. And I know it was early in the process, but just what they had being so different. You know, we know now looking back, you always try to emulate the champions. You see what they did best, whether it was the Bad Boy Pistons, whether it was the Lakers running in Showtime, whether it was teams of physicality. So I think we were all onto that a little bit. But you're right. You still needed those signature moments along the way just to sort of reinforce. Because you can, as you know, even when you mentioned some of the teams on that road trip, You can beat the marginal and the mediocre. And there are plenty of teams that go into the playoffs that pad their records with those kind of wins. Again, you know, the old win half your games on the road, take care of things at home. You don't need the signature wins, but you do need the signature wins. And you know what it's like the last few years, because I remember what it was like in the Heat's Big Three era. Every team is gunning for you because they want to beat the best. That's what you want to see. Because you know what? If a team can get up for a game in November, December, or January, to me that tells me something about their mettle, that they find games and they make games important. Eventually that carries over into the playoffs. It creates those moments. Well, look what we did to the Heat in the Big Three era. We've already shown what we can do. So for all these people, and I always argue against this, who say the NBA regular season is meaningless, no. There are very much specific moments you can take out of regular seasons, as this game showed for the Warriors.
Final question. You kind of led me there because I wanted to ask you about this. You know, we talked about the during this run for the Warriors in the previous 5 years about what a grind it was. And it's a grind for everybody, you know, because you're working all the way through June and you get done with the finals. The draft is like, you sure. know, 2 days later. What was it like for Miami, and what sort of things did you see? You mentioned about teams getting up. What other things did you see in the grind for the Heat during their run?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. You could see the almost an expiration date. And a matter of fact, the one thing I liked, and you referenced the Kevin Durant signing and whether they would or wouldn't, I think the lesson we've learned from that Heat team, from the Cavaliers that went to all those finals with LeBron, and even from the Warriors is, I think the lesson is these days you've got to change it up. You're not going to have a Celtics-like dynasty run with this mostly similar roster like you did back in the 60s. But the world has changed right now. So what I remember is I think the Heat needed to even revitalize themselves a little more in 2013, 2014, instead of looking at those same faces in the locker room every day. Yes, you've been through common challenges and you've grown together there, but I think really variety is the spice of NBA life also. And I think the lesson I learned from the Heat, I think the Warriors learned, and I think a lot of these teams have learned is, keep your stars, work around your stars, but you have to change it up. The Heat did try that. They did it with Shane Battier. They did it with Chris Bird Van Anderson. They did it with Ray Allen. But I think unless you freshen it up, it's almost like, you know, after a while you're in a relationship and you sort of just show up to the game and you go, what's for dinner tonight? So I think in a way, teams have learned from all these experiences that to be dynastic now is a lot different than it was, say, in the 60s or 70s.
Ira Winderman of the Sun Sentinel. Always a pleasure, my friend, to talk some basketball with you, and stay safe, and thank you so much for helping us out.
Hey, call anytime.
That's Ira Winderman. I'm Tim Roy, and the Warriors are re-airing classic games showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. We're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, the making of a champion presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to warriors.com for full details. I'm Tim Roy, and this is Warrior Sound.